Well, good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to all of you and those who are listening in cyberspace. Happy Sabbath to you. Well, today I would like to speak about the Sabbath days. But first, I would like to read very direct, strong, and interesting scriptures found in Matthew 10, verse 34. So let's turn to Matthew 10, verse 34. It says, Jesus said, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." You know, it's interesting that the one who said to love your neighbor as yourself would say something like that. Let's skip down to chapter 13, verse 10. The New King James Version, it reads, "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not given.'" Notice, the mysteries of the kingdom. Jesus speaking to thousands of people. Is Jesus revealing his message only to his disciples? Is he a respecter of person? "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them is not given." Let's skip to verse 13. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." You know, when Jesus was before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "You're a king then?" And Jesus answered, says, "You say I am a king. In fact, that's the reason I was born, and I came to the world to testify the truth." You know, when I was in the Catholic Church, we repeated this phrase over and over and over when we prayed the rosary: "Thy kingdom come." I had no clue then what it meant, but we repeated it many times. Yes, people followed Jesus because they had witnessed his miracles, his healings, feeding thousands of them with a few loaves of bread and two fishes, and even resurrected some. In here, Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, how God's word was received when they were being called. And, you know, the seed fell in different grounds. And let's continue in verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart." We must take God's calling serious so that the wicked one will not catch us off guard. Remember, many are called, but few are chosen. God the Father does the calling, but Jesus does the choosing. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." That's what Christ said. The people believed in him, but were not being chosen to do the work that Jesus wanted for them to do at that time. And that doesn't mean that they're lost, that they're not going to be saved. God wishes that everybody will be saved. But chosen? Chosen for what? Well, chosen to help Jesus rule over the nations. Remember the parable of the talents? Jesus explained how he would reward those who he chose with cities to rule over in his coming kingdom. Well, what does this have to do with the Sabbath anyway? Why are we here? Why aren't we doing something else like most people do on Saturdays, like going shopping or a ball game, go to a movie, work overtime, etc.? No, We are here because we have been invited. We are here by invitation only, and that invitation came from God. Thousands of people go about their business, but very few in the world acknowledge this day as holy. God has separated us from our daily routines and chores. The Sabbath days do not belong to us. They belong to God. God hallowed them and separate them specially for him. All things were created by Christ and for him. It is his holy time. Remember Moses when he spoke to God? When God spoke to God to him in Mount Sinai, God asked him to take off his sandals because the ground where he stood was holy. Well, the Sabbath is holy, and we must treat it this day accordingly, with respect. Of course, don't take your shoes off, but not doing our own chores, our own affairs. Let's take a look at the importance for being here. First of all, it is a commandment that we should pay attention to. Being the longest commandment of the ten, wouldn't you think that God wants us to consider it? Unlike Sunday, it separates us from the rest of the world. When Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace but a sword," he was serious. He came to separate us from the rest of the world. Do you remember when you were being called and the Sabbath became apparent to you? Remember that? It separated me and my wife from some friends and relatives who were not happy with our new way of life. We could have gone to any Sunday-keeping church and probably wouldn't lose those friends. The sword represents the truth. It is what separates us. Remember the horsemen of the apocalypse? In the Bible, there are two horsemen riding white horses. One carrying a bow and the other one with a sword. The one with a bow represents false prophet, false doctrine. That bow is a deceptive bow. When we compare it with the second one, while waving the sword, that sword represents truth. It is God's word. This is what it represents. And it represents the true Jesus. Let's quickly turn to Hosea 7:16. I want to show something. I want you to notice that two weapons are mentioned here. A bow and a sword. All right. Hosea 7:16. It reads, "They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princesses shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt." You know, that bow is a deceitful bow. The sword overcomes their leaders. A bow is a powerful weapon. But in the case of the white horseman with the bow, it is powerful, intimidating, but is aiming with deception and missing the intended target. I did not come here to bring peace, but a sword. He mentions a sword to get his point. Did I get your attention? The sword represents truth, God's word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. You can do a lot of damage with this, but God's word is sharper than that. It separates us from the rest of the world. It protects us. It sanctifies us. The Sabbath gives us rest and the opportunity to fellowship, to exhort one another, getting to know and get along with one another, God wants us to be all in one accord. We all need to be in one accord. Pentecost is at our doorsteps, and we need to be together, just like they were back in the time when God gave that spirit. They were all in one accord. You know, brethren, I love being here with all of you, getting to know you and fellowship with you. Sometimes I'm not feeling well at home, but if I'm not willing feeling well at home, I'd rather be here because it makes me feel better. It really does. So I'm happy that just to be here with all of you. Pentecost. Think about this. Would God had given his Holy Spirit to those who followed Jesus if they weren't keeping this holy day, which is also a Sabbath? The Sabbath is our refuge. It is our refuge, God's family reunion, like Mr. Segley says all the time. It is a family reunion. Congregating on the Sabbath day, it becomes our classroom. Yes, it's like a seminar. We are here learning from the spiritual meals that we receive weekly. And our Bible is our textbook. We have been called to give us an opportunity to help Jesus rule the world in the first resurrection, to be kings and priests in God's coming kingdom. God is inviting all of us. Brethren, Pentecost is almost here. Let's all be one in one accord, just as the early church was. Have a great Sabbath.